A foundation is a footing, a base, or on the structure of a building. You know, it's interesting because thinking about foundation, you know, I think it was 3 weeks ago, that building that collapsed in Florida, you know, it's almost like, wow, and people start questioning what happened to that building because, you know, all of a sudden just collapsed. And, you know, there were some reports that people have watched that it has some cracks. It was a faulty issue in terms of the foundation. So the foundation is the most important thing of a house. You know that when somebody wants to appraise a home, they go to the house and they verify the foundation, because if it's leaking or it's prone to or it's having cracks, the house might not pass that inspection. It's so important. You see, the taller the building, the deeper the foundation. You saw that in September 11, how, you know, when you go back, like a whole, almost like a whole story is got to go down on the floor to be able to withstand the weight of 110 stories. I mean, the foundation got to go deep, solid rock. You know, when you think about foundation, another thing that comes to mind is a worldview. Because how do you define what a worldview is? A worldview is a foundation. It is the platform upon which you stand to make sense of the world. So in other words, like, the worldview is right here. You stand and then you take a look out there and you have a worldview. I do have one too. Worldview can also be defined as a perspective. You have a perspective, you have an outlook about life. And you know, in our society, you might think, especially not just our society, in our country, you might think that some people have a democratic worldview, other people might have a Republican worldview. Like, they see everything through a democratic eyes or through Republican eyes. That's them. Everyone has a worldview. You do have one, I have one as well. This idea that perspective about life, how you see life itself, how you see yourself, that's why it's defined as a worldview. You have it. We do. You see, your perspective is, or outlook is the foundation upon which you stand to make sense of the world. Another thing too, every nation, institution, movement, country was built upon a central set of beliefs or ideas. Those beliefs are called principles. Every nation, every country, every institution, you can look it up and you can go back. What is your, how do you start? They start by a foundation, a set of beliefs. For instance, we have what is known as the Declaration of Independence. And in that declaration says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator by certain unalienable rights. So we hold these truths, these ideas to be, it says, self-evident. So that's how the United States of America was built. And whoever came up with that idea, you know what they call them? Founding fathers. So even they are founding fathers because they found the nation. The nation, the United States, was established based on those principles that they wrote down on the Declaration of Independence. Any organization where you work, you can look it up. There's something that somebody started. There's something in the 1800s, 1800, somewhere 1808, 1812, something came through the churches known as the Restoration Movement, and started in Virginia and you know, the Carolinas. And this movement, they were based on the idea that said, we want to go back to the Bible. In fact, our churches, Churches of Christ, Christian churches, we are founded by that movement. And they said, one of the things that they said, in essential unity, in matters of opinion, there's liberty. In everything else, love. So that was the main idea, the main belief of the Restoration Movement, why those churches were created since the 1800s, about, like, in essential, we had to know what the essentials are. We had to be united. In essential unity, in matters of opinion, you're free to have your opinion, you have liberty. In everything else, love. Those are foundations, ideas. You know, even when you hear slogan like, just do it, you know, Is it in you, Gatorade? You know, somebody came up with that, and they said, you know, we want this to be about this. We want this product to be about this. That's the worldview. That's a foundation. Everything that we do is governed, is ruled by a set of beliefs. You see, my friends, your beliefs, what you believe today, that's your foundation, because that it's going to determine what you're going to do, how you process information, how you act. Everything we do, how you act, is determined by a set of beliefs in your mind. Your actions are governed or ruled by what you believe. When somebody's speeding on the road, I mean, even though we might think it's crazy, but they're operating by a certain set of beliefs. So they say, maybe they're thinking, we are better than you, and so that's why I'm speeding, or I don't care what anybody else thinks, this is what I'm doing. So everything, bad or good, is determined by a set of beliefs, and that's our foundation. You see, since our beliefs are the foundation of our lives, have you ever asked this question? What is it that you believe? You know, when you do studies or polls, you realize a lot of times, even Christians, they might not even understand what is it that they believe. We might claim that we believe certain set of teachings. We might claim that we believe this, but then our actions are contradicting our words. It's almost like whatever we're saying is not being, it's not making sense, because you're saying one thing, but you're doing another thing. So, what is it truly that we believe? Because your belief has to be reflected in how you act. But sometimes I think we have this lack of conviction in our society that we don't truly know what we believe. We say that we believe, but we don't. Like I said, sometimes there is a disconnection between what I profess to believe and what I actually do. While we claim to believe does not match our actions. And Jesus had a huge problem with that. Jesus has some strong words to say to people who claim to be his followers, and their actions were denying their words. I mean, when you go back to Luke 6:46, Jesus at one time told them, "Why do you call me Lord and you do not do what I'm saying? Why do you call me Lord but you do not do what I command?" So in other words, you said you were my Lord, but you're not following my instructions. It's almost like, oh, you're my teacher, but I'm not going to listen to you. Hello? What kind of teacher is that? So, why do you, Jesus finally said it in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, Matthew 5 starts when he saw the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and everyone came, and then he said, "Blessed are the poor in the spirit," and he began teaching them many things, even about prayer, fasting, adultery. He taught about loving the brothers. I mean, there's so many things, not judging others. And then at the end, in chapter 7, he wraps up his sermon when he says, "Why do you call me Lord and Lord and do not do what I'm telling you? I mean, you're listening to my teaching, but you're not putting in practice what I'm teaching you." Like I said, when Jesus began to preach, you know, large crowds gather around him, and they were following. You know, somebody wrote a book entitled "Not a Fan." Because when you look at Jesus, there were people that were just fans. Those ones like me on Facebook. Just like, you know, those are fans. I mean, you know, they like Jesus, hanging around Jesus. But at one time in Jesus' teaching, the teaching became a little too deep and personal. Some of those fans are like, this is too much. And they withdrew. They abandoned Jesus. So now there's a crowd. You know, in the crowd, you don't know what people are thinking. You don't know if they're really paying attention. You don't know if they're really focused into what you're saying. And there's some that came just to see what Jesus would do next, because they heard that he can do some miracles out there. And there was internet and TV. Miracle would be the entertainment of that society. So there's like, oh, Jesus, let's see what, I heard that he multiplied bread. Let's see what he's going to do next. So there was those who were following Jesus, but there were some few, a small minority, they followed him because they saw him as the Messiah, the Savior. So Matthew is the writer who tells us that he calls this Sermon on the Mount, all the way from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So Jesus sat down and began to teach him. Like I say, everything you read from Matthew 5 to 7 is just the Sermon on the Mount, the whole package. And then in chapter 7, verse 24 through 29, it's the conclusion. He's going to conclude now the sermon. Go with me to your Bibles in chapter 7, verses 24 through 29, so that you hear what Jesus said as he's concluding the Sermon on the Mount. I'm reading from the ESV, Matthew 7, 24 through following. He said, Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, and not as their scribes or Pharisees or teachers of the law. Jesus started, therefore. If you're reading a different translation, you have the word therefore, which means because of what I told you before. You know, what did he say before? The whole sermon, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and now he's concluding. What I told, therefore, whoever, you know, consequently, for that reason, as a result, that's the word therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock. You see, Jesus told the story of two builders in the story. Jesus was a master in terms of like showing you an illustration. So, why is he saying that? All these people heard what he said for a while. I mean, they heard all his teaching, and now he says, anybody who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like somebody who's building on a firm foundation. Jesus already told you how you and I can build on a firm foundation applying what he's teaching us. He tells the story of two builders. One he calls wise because he used rock as the foundation. The other builder he called foolish. So the smart builder is the one who hears and practices Jesus' teaching according to verse 24. Because Jesus himself says, you got to hear and practice, hear and put in practice what you hear. Now, every foundation, you know, is going to be tested. Look at what happened to the man who built his house on the rock. Jesus said, the rain came down, the floods came, and also the wind, and beat against that house. So there were elements that whatever it is that you believe, whatever it is that you claim to believe, eventually it's going to get tested. And Michael Garrido and I were talking about that. It's interesting because, you see, the house got tested in every angle from the above. The rain came down, the floods, and then the wind. So it's almost like from the top, from the bottom, and from the side, the wind can take you. You remember the three little pigs? And you know, whose house stood? The one who built it with bricks. And so this man built his house on the rock, and then he says, and the rain came down, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Why? Why did it not fall? Because it was founded on the rock. Jesus said, you make a foundation of rock when you hear, but you also apply, or you put in practice what you hear. It's like a man building on a solid foundation, when the testing comes, you will pass. So everything you believe, wrong or bad, is going to be tested. If it doesn't pass, according to what Jesus is saying here, it's because it was built on the wrong foundation. But when you withstand the test, that means that your foundation was solid. Look, it has the elements of wind, rain, floods, and wind testing that house, but it did not fall because it had a foundation of rock. Now, the foolish building, Jesus said of somebody else, is anyone who hears Jesus' teaching but does not put him in practice is likened to a foolish man, foolish builder, who built his house on the sand. Now, you know that sand you know, it's not going to help you. Some of you who know about construction, maybe if you mix it with rock and cement and concrete, but sand by itself is not going to help you. You know, I know that here in Staten Island, sometimes in some places, they don't want to build a lot of houses because there's marshes and this sandy, you know, you need bedrock, and then now we can build. So this man built his house on the rock, beautiful house perhaps, but here comes the element, the testing, the rain, the floods, the wind, and what happened to that man's house? Got destroyed. Why? Because it wasn't founded on the rock. Now, keep in mind, Jesus, two builders. He said the wise builder is the one who hears and practices what he hears or what she hears. The one who's foolish is the one that only hears but doesn't do anything with that information. Jesus has been teaching these people, and in his audience, there were people of such nature. There were people that actually were going to practice what Jesus taught them about prayer and fasting and everything else, loving the neighbor and not judging others. They were going to put that in practice, but there were some that were only here. And my friends, you and I should not be shocked about this, because that happens all the time. Some of you who are teachers, you know that there are some students that they only listen to, they only hear what you're saying. And in church, it happens too. You know how many times like preachers will come and preach sermons, and you know, at one time you figure that by certain years people ought to show maturity, but then what is going on? It's almost like they're only hearing, but they're not doing what the Word of God is calling us to do. So if we only hear, my friends, without applying what we hear, if we only hear but not put in practice what we hear, we're building on a shaky foundation. And guess what? Whatever it is that you believe, eventually it's going to get tested. The rain's going to come down on you. The storm is going to hit. The floods are going to rise. And the wind is going to beat you up from all directions. And if you're not solidly planted, it will destroy you. My friends, perhaps you're already going through a storm right now. And that storm that you're dealing with right now, you know what that storm is doing? It's to test that foundation you have. It's to test to see if you're going to crack. It's to test the intensity and the strength of that foundation. All the storms, I mean, the Bible says, James, the half-brother of Jesus, said that when we go through trials, it's to the testing of your faith. I mean, sometimes we don't want to go through trials, but the Lord allows you to go through trials so that develop you into a stronger, mature, seasoned Christian. That when the storm hits you, you can say, I'm still standing here. The rain came, the floods rose, but I'm still standing because my foundation can crack. My foundation is on the rock. And so that's why those things come to us. All of us, maybe this week you've already been tested about certain things, and it's the testing of your belief, testing where you're standing, how your foundation holding you on. So that's why those things come to us. Interesting, after Jesus finished, he says that, look at verse 28. And when Jesus finished these sayings, or these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. They always, Jesus amazed people with his teachings. And one time the soldiers were sent to arrest Jesus, and they came back without Jesus. And the people asked him, why didn't you bring him in? He said, we never heard somebody speak like this man speaks. So people were amazed at his teaching, Son of God. But isn't that amazing? Somebody said, you know, you have the greatest teacher in the world teaching you. His teaching is not going to do any impact if we don't apply what he says. His job is just to let us know, to teach us, and hey, you do this, you follow my recipe, you follow my guidelines, you will do well. But that his job is just to announce, to proclaim, preach that. Our job is now to listen and do what he's saying. Then we're building on a firm foundation. You see, Jesus is challenging you. He's challenging me and you today to examine the type of foundation that we are using. I mean, think about upon which are you building your life today? Upon which? Or upon what are you building your life? Jesus said, whoever hears my words and put them in practice is building on a solid foundation. you only hear my words but don't do anything with what you hear, you're building on a shaky foundation. It's not gonna get you through the test. Only Jesus as a foundation can withstand any test that we go through in this life. So again, you build on a firm foundation by listening, hearing, and applying. Hearing and putting in practice what you hear. Now in 4:11 first. Peter, one of Peter's, I think this must be the second sermon, because Peter's first sermon was Acts 2. So by Acts 4, he's preaching to a large crowd again, and that crowd had religious people. And then he gets up in the middle of the crowd, and he challenged the religious people and talked about a foundation. He said, Jesus, he said to them, he is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. So Jesus came so that you guys would use him as a foundation, but you as builders did not want to use him. You used something else. But Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, and he has become the cornerstone. And that's when he goes on. He says, for salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved, only Jesus. So even there, Peter is proclaiming to people that the only foundation that will not crack and that people are still rejecting today is Jesus. He's the one that's going to get you through that. And Paul, many years later, I remember in Colossians, he writes to Colossians, and I love that Colossians 1, I think it's 1:16, when he says, and in him, in Jesus, all things hold together. I mean, I don't know, my friend, you're falling apart right now. Maybe financially, relational. I mean, there's so many storms that will hit us. What is it that it's trying to break you apart? And then Jesus is holding you together. Just like the laminin in the protein molecule in the human body holds us together. When we cut, we don't just bleed out. You know, something is holding us together right there, the way God intended it. Rebarbs is rolling the building and the steel and the concrete. They're working that. Even if there's a little earthquake, they're still intact, constant right there, holding that building together. And Paul says that in Christ, all things hold together. And I don't know about you, but he's the one that will hold me together. Because even us preachers, we go through trials. They come to break us so that we stop preaching the gospel, so that we just quit. And if it had not been by the grace of God, how many, you know, I mean, you can do the stats. How many preachers right now, at this very hour, they're quitting. They're not going back to churches anymore because ministry is hard. And you know, it's almost like, and so the test comes, and it's like they just abandon the work. And I began to write a book. I want to write a book about the messiness of ministry. You know, like ministry is not for the faint of heart, because I want to encourage preachers. I want to encourage other people that will come alongside after I'm gone, and that they can read that and say, you know, we've been through the storm. We've been through the valley. We've been tested by the rain, by the floods, by the winds, but we're still standing because our foundation doesn't crack. Jesus doesn't crack. He's still going to hold us together even when somebody's mad at you. He's still going to hold you together even when nobody else likes you. Jesus said, I got you. I got you. Because you hearing me and you putting in practice what I'm telling you, you will be all right. My friend, you will be okay as long as Jesus is still the foundation in your life. Even though, yes, you see the storm, you see the floods rising, and it's like, oh, what's going on? Don't panic. Don't be afraid. Look. Check out your foundation. Examine, the foundation is still there. You will pass that test. 1 Peter 2:6, it says, from your scripture, and now he's quoting Isaiah. He says, in scripture it says, see, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone. And I love this. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. The one who trusts in him will never be taken advantage by the flood and the winds and the waves. You will withstand the test. Like I said, Peter was quoting Isaiah 28:16. Prophet Isaiah was preaching to people that were a similar attitude as the one that Jesus preached to. And Isaiah said, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, for a sure foundation. The one who trusts in him will never be dismayed. So Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus, we're predicting that God, Yahweh, say, I lay a stone, just one stone. That's the one that Peter says. He, Jesus, was the stone you rejected. And he has become the cornerstone. For salvation is found in no one else. For there's no other name given to men by whom we are to be saved. Jesus, our precious cornerstone. That's what the songwriter says. My faith is built on nothing else but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. And it's like, because it doesn't matter what storm will come, if Jesus is holding you together, man, you will be okay. You will be all right. So say that to yourself. I mean, that's what I'm saying. All we got to do is examine our foundation. What is it that I'm placing more emphasis? What is it that I'm believing more than Jesus' words and saying, I got you? Like Michael was talking about, Jesus challenging people. Say, if I take care of the birds and the air and the grass, I will take care of you. So do not worry, but seek my kingdom first. And all these things that you're going after will be given to you as well. That was in chapter 6. And in chapter 7, now he used the analogy of the two builders and said, which one are you? Are you the wise builder who builds upon the rock? Or are you the foolish one that your foundation is sandy, shaky? If we don't practice Jesus' teaching, then our foundation is going to be cracked by the storm. We will not withstand the storm. And that's when you realize, as a church, all the storms that churches go through, I mean, you know, we have the pandemic that came to test a lot of people's faith. And you know, in churches, all churches globally are struggling. But even in the midst of their struggles, in the midst of like, what are we going to do? Because we had to rearrange certain things. God's remaining faithful and people getting baptized and God's kingdom continue to move forward. Even when people leave you and whatever they want to decide, the Lord says, I'm still going to continue carrying out my church because it is mine. And we're going to continue moving forward with pandemic, with it or without. Because, you know, I always go back to the words of Jesus in Matthew 16, the same book. He told Peter, not even the gates of Hades will be able to overpower my church. Why? Why is that? Because the church is built on one foundation. The foundation is Christ. The apostles preach about. He said, we're not laying another foundation. No, we're building everything on Christ. And then we go from there. So, you see, that's why when you see a church that, because of the struggles that they go through, and the church no longer exists, I'm telling you for real, you got to examine what is it that they decide to build upon. I mean, sometimes we're built upon the facade and the glamour and you know, which those things are great to have, like, you know, the lights and the things, but if that's the only foundation that you're going to build the church upon, I don't want to be part of that, by the way. That's right. Because, you know, the church is not just about, the church got to be about Jesus and nothing else. You know, because, yes, we're blessed to have a musician. We're blessed to have the things, and we can have more, yes. But those things are added on. Those things might be like the windows of the house. And, you know, I mean, you want to place more emphasis on the window than the foundation? You know how crazy that would be? Foundation is the most important thing, and everything else builds from there. You know, and so you see a lot of churches that all of a sudden they stop. Oh, they're gone. And in Revelation, there were seven churches. And five of those churches, Jesus said, repent or else don't even preach. I'm not even going to show up to your services. And there was chapter 3, there was one that Jesus himself is outside the church knocking on the door for people to let him in. When I read that, I'm saying, what's wrong with that picture? The church is Jesus. Why is he outside the church? I thought he was supposed to be the center. He said, look, I'm standing at the door. I think it's Revelation 3:20. I'm standing at the door and knocking. If anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. There's just something wrong with that picture. I don't know about you, but there's something wrong. Why is Jesus knocking outside when he should be inside? Why is Jesus all of a sudden outside the church? They kicked him out. And that's what we never want to do that. I mean, as long as I'm the preacher here, and I told the Lord, like, if I'm going to preach something else that is not Christ-centered, I don't want to do this anymore. He can just take me out because I want to remain faithful to his word. This is what the foundation is, and there's no other one. You know, it's, the government does not dictate why we are to preach. Jesus does. You know, they can come and arrest me anytime, but I'm not going to change what the gospel says. We got to be faithful to that. With a few people or with a lot, we got to be faithful to listening to his words and doing what he says. You know, Paul says faith comes from hearing. Hearing is important, but the most important thing is to apply what he says. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, do not merely listen. James 1:22, he says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what he says. He says, put in practice what he says, because by doing that, you're building on a firm foundation. Like I said, Jesus had strong words to say to those that were listening to his teaching. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I'm saying? I mean, you're contradicting yourself. Why do you call me Lord and do not put in practice what I'm teaching you? To call Jesus Lord of our lives is to obey his teaching, to put in practice what he's telling us in his scripture. It's interesting, even when Jesus, according to Matthew, his last words to the apostles, what is known as the Great Commission, when Jesus told them, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then the next line he says, verse 20, 28, 20, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Those were Jesus' last words according to Matthew. The Great Commission, he told his disciples, go make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. So teaching has to do with listening and putting in practice what we hear. And therefore, we built on a firm foundation. All foundations will be tested by severe storms. Are you experiencing a storm right now? Maybe you are. If you're not, get ready. The storms will come. You know, but think about how you're going to handle and manage the storm. God will not keep you from the storm, but he will keep you secure, fastened to his foundation until the storm passes. It will pass. And when they pass, you, at the end of the day, will look at yourself and you will be stronger. It's the analogy in the Old Testament, like metal refined by fire. You'll be shinier because you went through the storm. And then everybody else, like, see, they went through a storm. They went to hell and back, like people would say. I mean, it's like they're going through a lot, but they're still standing. What is it? Why are you not cracking in the midst of the chaos and tribulation? And you can tell people with a loud voice, you know why I'm still standing? Because somebody's holding me together, and that's Jesus. You know why I'm still standing in the midst of whatever it is that's going on in my family right now? Because my foundation is the rock that the wind cannot erode. My foundation is Jesus, and he's the stone, the cornerstone of my life. And as long as Jesus is the cornerstone, man, you don't have to worry about what's going on or what people will say about you or what, you know, Jesus will hold you together. I had to preach that sermon to myself. My family in the DR, they went through a storm. I mean, severe storm. Like my mom, one time, she just did not want to hear anymore talk about the whole thing. You know, my wife can tell you a story, and it's like, why? But and then in the midst of that, we baptized like 6 people one Sunday. And the Lord's still moving, you know, and I don't know if you saw pictures on Facebook, but it's like, the church was forced to move from one location to another, and now the whole community knows there's a church in there, and people are coming in and out. And it's almost like, my dad, he said he was ready, I mean, 50 years of ministry, he was ready to just say, you know, somebody else can do this now, you know, but apparently God had another plan. He said, no, you're not done yet. You know, sometimes we think we come to a point, and I even told my dad when they're celebrating the 50th anniversary in ministry, I told them, I said, as preachers, I think you and I, we have asked that question, Lord, how long am I going to be doing this? You know, sometimes when people are ungrateful to you or they stab you in the back, I mean, how long are we going to do this, Lord? And you know, I told my dad, and I want, as a word of encouragement, I said that to him last Sunday. I said, I think you're asking the same question Isaiah asked. Chapter 6 of Isaiah, when the Lord called Isaiah, I said, whom shall we send and whom shall we go for us? Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. And then the Lord told him, go preach to people that have ears but don't hear. Go preach to people that have eyes but they don't see, they don't perceive. I mean, hold on, you want me to preach to people? They're not going to listen to me. the Lord Yahweh sent Isaiah to preach. And then Isaiah had that question that me, as a minister, as a preacher for about 22, 23 years, asked. And my dad, I'm pretty sure he has asked that question. How long, Lord? I mean, yeah, you gave me a mission, but when will it be fulfilled? How long, Lord? You know what the Lord answered Isaiah when he wanted to know how long he needed to preach? The word of the Lord said to Isaiah, until there are no more peoples in the town. So in other words, you're going to be preaching for a while, Isaiah. You're going to be doing it until the city lie deserted, desolate, and then you can quit. So I was telling that to my dad because, you know, it's like sometimes we feel like, oh, maybe we need just to throw. No, the Lord said, we're going to be doing this until he said that's enough. Because sometimes God might bring you from one place to another, but even where he places you, you are to represent and to preach the gospel, to tell people about this foundation that we all need. That regardless through how many years we go in ministry or in the church, you're still standing here. You, my brothers and sisters, you are still here because your foundation is solid. It's Christ. You're not quitting. You're not giving up because there's an issue right there. And when you examine your foundation, you say, well, this is what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to be fastened to him. Regardless of the storm we're experiencing, you know, we examine our foundation. We know the storm will come. The rains are going to come down. The floods are going to rise against you. And the winds are going to blow in all directions, trying to keep you off balance. But Jesus said, hey, I'm holding you together. Only Jesus will keep you strong during the struggles and the storms of life. He's the firm foundation you need. He's the strong foundation that you need to have to live fearlessly and victorious in this life. In the midst of chaos and tribulation. We don't know what else is going to bring. It's going to happen tomorrow. Like Michael was telling us, tomorrow is not promised. It doesn't matter what tomorrow is going to bring. Because the one that's holding you together, he held you together in the past. He's going to do it right now in the present. And he will continue doing it until the day that he will call us home. So my friends, Jesus said, anybody who hears these words and put them in practice. That's all we have to do, church. Apply Jesus. Do really what he's asking us to do. And then he said, by doing that, we're building on a firm foundation that it will withstand any type of test. Praise God that he has given us the foundation for life. Would you pray with me this morning?